Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health. A world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Today on Lulz, we're going to discuss this this story from Barstool Sports, where one of their big-time creators, Big Cat, has been outed as not a Chicago Bears fan that he made himself out to be. For so many years, it has caused a lot of controversy in the Barstool streets. And frankly, I've long thought the same about Brian, who's one of the biggest Bears fans I know. But maybe we start peeling back that onion and it's not so true. We'll have to find out. Also, further development in the Blaze Betts guy we've been talking about. Their scam within the sports betting world has been revealed. And Brian and I will discuss that. It'll be a classic Lulz episode with Pete and Brick. Let's do it.
He thinks this is a go. Vegas Dave thinks this is a go.
Hot naked girls doing yoga.
What?
Why don't you just win like a man?
Random.org. Type in one for yes, two for no. Let the DFS gods pick for you.
And I'm absolutely begging you not to dupe us. Please don't dupe us.
All right, Brian, sorry I was running a little late, wrapping up off and on the clock. How are you doing today?
Good. How you doing?
Doing good. Busy Thursday, trying to cram in a bunch of things, going on a flight tomorrow, doing my annual trip with my college buddies for divisional round weekend. So, just trying to squeeze everything in. But otherwise,
my buddy's coming up too for football.
Nice.
Weekend too, yeah.
You guys going to hit the B-dubs or what?
That's probably exactly what we're going to do.
Love it.
I told you last time I got cut off there.
I mean, at B-dubs. You told me a funny story. No. Sports betting wise, right?
No, like drinking wise. They cut me off at B-dubs. It was last year or the year before. We do this every year. Like, right. We do one playoff weekend.
Yeah.
But like it wasn't like, listen, I've been cut off legitimately over in my life, right? My career of drinking. But I had two Long Island iced teas, and she's like, oh, it's law. We can't sell you a third one within an hour and a half or something. I'm like, what?
Wow. Yeah. So is that like a hard and fast rule, or she literally was like,
my buddy was a bartender back in the day. He said it's a law. I've never fucking heard it before. It's like, fuck you. We're leaving.
Wow. Man, I've said this many times, but I've told you my story about how I worked at Buffalo Wild Wings for 2 weeks.
I think we had this conversation.
Yeah. Okay. We won't do it again. See, Ashton remembers the story. All right.
I think we did talk about it. That's what happens when you do a billion shows eventually.
I know. You just got to hope that the stories are good enough that people enjoy hearing them multiple times over. Yeah, Casey didn't take Brian for a Long Island iced tea guy.
Yeah, I've matured into a girl drink drunk. pure girly drinks. So, like, I bought Mike's Hard Zero Sugar and cider for this
weekend. Those are your go-to?
And that's kind of hard, right? Like,
Yeah,
just girl drinks now. I think I've drank enough men drinks for a few lifetimes probably.
Nerdy says sometimes the nicest thing you can do for someone is pretend you never heard the story before. For sure. Yeah, I've definitely done that with my wife, or I still catch myself and I was like, oh yeah, you did tell me that. Like I try to do it like in a really nice way. I'm sure I do it too.
Dan, those are kind of your two choices once you pass 40. You could either do what Dan does, which is, like the sophisticated, like the different types of local breweries and IPs and microbrews and, you know, whiskey. You could do the whiskey thing, or you go girl drink. Yeah. That's it.
Those chat, chat's going to kill you for calling IPAs IPs, though. Just
I said IPAs, didn't I? No,
you said IPs. IP freely, for sure. No, I'm the same way. We went to it was last weekend, because the division or wild card games were on, and so we went just like Lauren, April, and I to a bar or a brewery, and because they have like a big good setup for watching the games. And like, I always order the most basic ass beers from the brewery. I'm like, I look at the ABV. I'm like, what's the light beer, the lager, the pilsner you have? I'm not trying any of their fancy ass beers, their fucking cotton candy IPs. I'm just, just give me the, what tastes most similar to an Amstel Light? Can I have that?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. I'd be the same.
I feel cool at the brewery.
And like, do you just have a Guinness? Give me a Guinness. IPA, I don't like IPAs.
Me either.
Call me crazy. I think the taste, like they were like shit beers for pirates and shit. Like that's how they, and the what was the old merchant company, the Dutch East Indies.
Oh yeah, that's
yeah.
Right, because
last
it didn't require the preserves. Yeah. Here's the thing: the IPA community is they're a vicious bunch, and I do not want to stoke the flames. Of that, like that's the last thing I need right now is the IPA bros coming after me.
We've been attacked once in our years long history of this show. I don't know if you remember it. It was during the NFT boom. You made fun of, I can't even remember who.
The Lucky Lions or
it might have been the Lucky Lions, and we got somebody did one of those spam chat things where they know how to create accounts like really quickly if you ban them. For like three shows.
Yeah.
Because you made fun of Lucky Lions or whatever the fuck it was.
You're right. I forget. It was some alliteration with Lazy Lions. I think it was Lazy Lions.
I think that's it. Yeah. That definitely was the thing. I don't know if that was the one that really set those guys off, but they didn't. I mean, you were hurting their bags. You were hurting their bags. They had to do something.
They were so bad. Okay. So speaking of people being so mad, I saw this like pop up in a few spots on my timeline. For people who don't know, and I assume most people know, Big Cat, I believe kind of like the second biggest personality out Barstool behind Dave Portnoy, like one of their founders. And the whole thing of like Barstool from the beginning, that their business model was like, you know, localized fandom, like sports blogs and like, you know, cool bro guy stuff, but like regionally based. And obviously Portnoy was the New England guy. And then they had Big Cat as the Chicago guy. And that was like this whole thing. And so throughout the years, being a Chicago fan has been like his identity. Obviously, I think he's transcended that with Pardon My Take, really big generalized sports podcast. But so much of what Barstool does, the rivalries with sports, all of that stuff, the watch parties, it comes back to what is the team you root for? Who is the team you care about? And this week, it came out that Big Cat is not originally from Chicago. He's actually from Mass and grew up a Patriots fan. And it wasn't until later in his life when he went off to college and then moved to Chicago that he actually became a Bears fan. And now people feel very misled by his fandom. Like he actually isn't a real Bears fan, that he hasn't been in the trenches with them. Where do you fall on this story? Cause I know like the macro part, we don't give a shit about traditional fandom, but the cosplaying online for so many years as a Bears fan.
Yeah. And just because, you know, I'm not, you know, super fan or whatever. I mean, I can't understand where they're coming from. I my buddy texted me this, so I knew it's like it'd be a big story if he's texting me. I don't know. We got to talk it out because I go on both sides of this to where it's like he can become a fan later in life. What the shit? But also it's like, okay, how much did he mislead these guys? How much was cosplaying? And I don't follow. I don't watch their shows. I just see clips and stuff. So. Yeah. I don't know how much he's been cosplaying.
I know. My guess, and I'm the same way as you, like I know of Barstool stuff, like when it hits the headlines, I don't follow their regular stuff. I do think it's probably happened less and less over the years. Although they moved to Chicago to start a Chicago office. Like again, kind of doubling down on that regional identity thing. We have the New York office. We have the Chicago office, all of this stuff. I think it's fascinating in that one of the trademarks of Barstool and why people gravitate to it is because of the authenticity. These are just real guys. They're not putting on a facade. They're not pretending they're official broadcasters. They're just bros being bros, fans being fans. And it is a little interesting in that I don't think anyone would have cared if this was just part of the lore from the start, but is the fact that it like hasn't been addressed for so long makes you think that you were actually trying to hide something.
Okay, let's separate the two. The first one is the cosplay, the lying. Let's leave that aside just for now. What year can you become a fan? Because so I need to get out in front of this as now the number one Chicago's Bear fan in the world.
You're the only real one.
I'm the only real one. I have to come forward. When I was 9 years old, I liked Deion Sanders and the Atlanta Falcons. And my mom won't ever shut up about it. She's like, you didn't even like the Bears. So, you know, I was nine, I was young, I was naive. So if there anything comes out about that, Pete, you know, I'm letting people know now that when I was playing Tecmo Bowl, you know, I wish they had the Falcons in there.
I do think it's funny in that it reveals, like, again, going back to what their original kind of business model was and what they were trying to do, you know, he filled a void for them where they're saying like, hey, we want the Eagles fan. We want the Patriots fan. Like, we want to have these regional guys. And he's like, yeah, I'll be the Bears guy. Like, I can fill that void. Like, that was a way to be like, this is how I contribute. We don't need 18 different New England Patriots voices.
I mean, this is a serious question for you and for Chad. Like, what year could he like be like a credible Bears fan? So let's say he grew up in Boston. What year can he start saying, I'm a real big Bears fan. I moved here and blah, 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 and announced I was a fan. How many, like when he's 18 to 26, 7 years, 8 years.
I don't think the hardcores are ever going to allow you. I don't think unless you grow up.
Do you have to live there? Like grow up there?
I think you either need that or you have to have been that fan your entire life. Like you live in a different city, but you're like, my dad grew up a Bears fan. And so like I grew up rooting for the Bears in New England. And then it's like, okay, but you've been a Bears fan. There's like photos of Big Cat now wearing his Patriots shirt over his hoodie.
Yeah, he wasn't that young in that picture.
He wasn't that young. He was like a late high school or early college guy.
Yeah, early college, late high school, yeah.
So I don't think you can survive both of those. You can survive being a fan of that team in another state for your whole life.
Yeah.
Or you can survive having lived in that state for your whole life, but maybe like vacillating a little bit. But you can't survive both, I don't think, from like the hardcores.
Okay. Yeah. So there's an expiration date here. So like,
yes.
If you're like in your 20s and you didn't live in Boston. So like me, I cannot become a Celtics fan. It's just way too late.
I mean, you can do whatever you want, but people.
No, I mean, like, and then do a podcast. You know what I mean? And say I'm a huge Celtics fan. I'm like Bill Simmons. It's just too late for me. I can never make that claim.
I think it'd be so crazy, right? And it's different than like, you know, if you were trying to be like an analyst, you know, a general sports analyst. And it's like, yeah, you cover all these teams or whatever, or even being a reporter. Like if you were a journalist and then you were like, yeah, I got this gig at the Boston Globe covering the Patriots. No one's going to kill you, but just being like cosplaying as a fan
who's
been through the trials and tribulations of that team.
I'm saying that like that. Can I be a Celtics fan? Is it just too late? Because like one of the reasons I follow him on Twitter is because his Bears bits are funny. Like, you know, he'll support him no matter what. Right. But it's the way he does. It's really funny. You know, like Trubisky will throw like three picks in the first half and he'll just have a funny. Those were all good looks, you know, and he'll just defend him no matter what. But everyone knows it's a bit. But it's all funny because he's supposedly a super Bears fan.
Exactly.
So
which is what brought stakes to the content, right? Like that's what made that stuff hit and why people resonated and why entire fan bases won is because they view you as a proxy for what they've felt. And so I understand why, again, I don't give a shit like who you root for. Neither of us give a shit about that. But if you are selling something off of that thing, and then that's not true, that's an entirely different issue.
What about 18 years old? You're 18.
you are caught up on the exact age.
Yeah. I want to know what year you could become a super fan of a new team and do a podcast.
Well, I will say this, like, my, you know, personal experience from it. So I grew up in Denver, you know, enjoyed the Broncos. And when I moved to San Diego, I dug my heels in. I became the biggest Broncos fan I had ever been in my life for that stretch that I was in San Diego, because I was surrounded by all of the obnoxious Chargers fans.
Yeah.
I'm trying to like put myself in like position if they were like, hey, Pete, like you do sports media, like here's this gig. Like, will you cover the Chargers for us? It'd be so weird. It makes me wonder, like, what did his friends from high school and shit say when he became like the Bears guy? You know, because that's what I would think. Like, if my friends started seeing me blogging about the Chargers, they would have been like, what the fuck are you doing? You're now the world's biggest Philip Rivers fan. Like, what happened to you?
Yeah, not even blogging like about the news and what's happening, like doing cosplay bits about, you know, about how big of a fan you are.
Yeah. So it's funny too. He wrote a huge long blog post about it. He even mentioned in the post that when he initially started doing this, that there were a few people who had like knew about his origins and had like DM'd him, or they would like at him on Twitter, and he would like DM him and be like, stop, man, you're gonna ruin that. Like, he for all of his career, like cosplaying as a Bears fan, has been like worried about this thing coming out. It's just fascinating to me because everything with Barstool is so transparent. I'm just like, man, how did you not see this coming? Like, how did you not just rip the Band-Aid off a long time ago?
I'm going to kind of agree with KZ Brown here. 25 years old.
You love this.
After 25, you can't be a super fan anymore of a new state. Sorry. Too late. You know what I mean? Like, if you move to Germany at 25, you're still a fucking American. Sorry. You're never going to be a German. It's too late. You're an American.
I think there's a distinction, though. Like, if you move to a new state, and let's say you're a 22-year-old, right? And you're trying to make friends. And like, I have my wife's cousin who moved to San Diego, didn't know anyone. He grew up a Dolphins fan, I think. And he started just like rooting for the Chargers because everyone in his friend group, everyone he was dating, everyone were Chargers fans. And it was just like a thing for him to do to bond with new people in a new city. That isn't as weird to me as him going to San Diego, starting a podcast and being like, I'm a lifelong suffering Chargers fan.
It's different. And then the whole persona, the you know, the DeBears Saturday Night Live thing, you know, it doesn't matter what they do. It's great. It's good type of stuff. Like playing into the local bit about the Bears. That it is two different things, but I mean, it's also the older you get, it's weird. Come on. Like, if you're 40 and then all of a sudden become a super fan of some other team, that you should be becoming less of a fan because it's stupid. No one should be fans. Being a fan is dumb. a ton. But if you're going to, you know what I mean? Like, if it's going to happen, hopefully it's when you're younger. So I think that there's a hard cutoff. I think he was underneath that cutoff. So I think I could grant going to college at Wisconsin and like deciding you're going to live in Chicago and stuff. And become, I think I could kind of see that. The second part though, the cosplaying, and I sent you a clip too. My buddy sent me where somebody says he said he grew up in Hyde Park. So people don't know. That's like where Obama's house is. It's on the south side. University of Chicago area. It's like the only decent area on the south side. Don't go there. not even to Comiskey. Don't even go there. And he grew up, which is a weird place to pick where he grew up. He grew up in Hyde Park. Okay. All right. I guess it's possible. He grew up in Hyde Park and went to boarding school or something in Boston. That was his story.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, it's pretty short, actually, I think.
All right, let me see here. Can you hear this?
No.
You can't?
Cannot hear it.
Hang on. Sorry, I was sharing the wrong Chrome tab. Let me try this.
There's a Hyde Park, Boston, too, huh?
Yes. Here, can you hear this?
And then
yes,
a text right afterwards of him telling me, don't say that I went to Highland Park High School, because while I grew up in Highland Park,
oh,
I went to a boarding school in Massachusetts.
Okay, Highland Park makes more sense. That's far. That's northeast side, north of Chicago suburb.
Or subject, and I'm like, well, he must have been like a bad kid or something if he got shipped off to
the boarding school. Line is a new one there.
That's okay. I feel like we're stopping case audio, Dave, and you mentioning that. I feel like we're in case territory here.
Yeah.
That's very strange. It's like the venting Anna stuff.
So I've always been an assumption, just like Dan didn't want to talk about where he grew up. It was just kind of like not.
Yeah.
I didn't know that he was making up a story or telling people.
Weird. That's weird. We were talking about last night at dinner, just once it starts snowballing.
That's what I was thinking.
If he'd done it 10 years ago, fine.
That's also the incredible thing about Barstool, is like the way stuff works when they have drama, like it's actually fodder for their entire network. It's like every show has to comment on it, everything. Like that's what makes people like them. Take these actual kind of pieces of drama and turn it into an office reality TV show series. But man, it also it illustrates a really funny thing about like fandom, and I would say the relationship of the Barstool audience with him. Like Big Cat provides entertainment, all of these podcasts, all of these things, they do all kinds of bits, stunts, yada yada, whatever, comedy. That's like what it's about, right? Like they provide entertainment that distracts people from their jobs and whatever, in the same way a lot of entertainment functions. But people do not like feeling misled. At the end of the day, like it doesn't really change the entertainment that they experienced from his stuff, but they don't like being told Santa Claus isn't real after Santa Claus has been showing up in their headphones and on their YouTube for 10 years or whatever.
Definitely not. The bit too, I'm trying to like wrap my head around, if like everyone knew, obviously we can't go back in time, but it's definitely not nearly as funny if you knew he was cosplaying.
Exactly.
Like at all. Like, I mean, it's, I guess it's kind of funny, but there's no way he'd get like, you know, 2 million followers for being a Bears cosplayer.
Right. Like imagine, and again, I don't know if this ever happened, but you're like watching a stream where they're sweating a Bears game and like something bad happens and you like punch a hole in the drywall because you're really pissed. And then it's like, oh, you went to a boarding school in Massachusetts and love Tom Brady. Like it is just like a little, you are just acting at that point, which again, I don't give a shit. But people who live and die by Barstool apparently do.
I'm guessing he didn't go to boarding school.
I think he went to a school in Newton, Mass.
Yeah, but probably not boarding school.
No, I bet he went to just one of the public
schools. Yeah, well, the reason I'm saying that is because like that's like an elaborate, you know, when people lie, they have to like give extra details, right? To make their story seem more plausible. Like why did you have to say boarding school? You just said I went to school and
I bet private school. Boarding implies that you live almost in a different state. Most people, when you hear shipped off to boarding school, it's like, oh yeah, you grew up in Chicago, but your parents shipped you off.
I'm not even going to ask. Yeah. He has to add on to that, which makes it even more slimy.
Yeah. So,
I think if it was his story that he said on, you know, those other clips, I think I'm fine with it. I think if this stuff though is true,
right.
Eh.
I agree with you, right? There's a huge difference between just omitting information and lying, right? If it, just never came up that I'm from Newton, Mass. Like that's one thing versus I have concocted this
story. Why is everyone from Newton, Mass, by the way? Isn't that where like Rogan and Bill Burr and everyone's from like Newton?
Conan, like there's so many comedians.
Conan.
Yeah. Yeah, Amy Poehler is from Massachusetts. There's a bunch. But it's just wild. Because I do think, I almost feel like this would have been like a way bigger deal if it hit like 5 years ago, before they transitioned into being like a national podcast in just general sports. They cover all sports, all angles. One of the biggest sports podcasts in the world. I don't think like the focus of their podcast has like nothing to do with traditional fandom or being Bears, or there's not like a Bears segment or whatever that I know of, but it's just the fact that this went so long without being addressed that it now feels like, oh shit. And you know what happens with people too? And again, this is so dumb, but people are going to be like, well, what else is he hiding? What else is he not authentic about? What else is behind the curtain?
I mean, that's the obvious main question is this little paragraph right here, or maybe the one above it is, okay, well, maybe you're lying about being a Bears fan right out of Madison too.
Right.
Maybe you just took the job because you needed a fucking job and the job was to write about the Bears.
Right.
Yeah. Like maybe you're not telling the truth about any of this. And then he just cosplayed because it was doing so well. It's such an easy bit. Adam says he's shocked anyone's entertained by these bozos. I also think there's an element here of people hate. There's a lot of people who hate Barstool, who hate Dave.
Oh, Portnoy. Yeah.
And so anytime they get a chance to like shit on these guys, I don't listen to any of their stuff, but like you could clearly there's a group of people out there who hate these guys. So when they get a chance, like they're going to jump on it.
And this is where I completely disagree. I am not shocked whatsoever. What they have done from a meta media experience, and I was just kind of discussing it before, they have cracked a code in a way that SNL hasn't, in a way that so many other media operations haven't. And they have taken media and they have turned it into an office reality show. People do not give a shit about Barstool because of their cultural commentary, because of their unique sports insights, because of anything. They like Barstool because they have opened up the doors and allowed people to watch them like a near 24/7 reality TV show. And they are invested in those characters and they continue to stoke the flames of that and allow people in on this. The whole reason we're talking about this is because they're now making this entire thing public across all their shows, yada, yada. It is literally a genius business concept as far as building an impassioned fan base. So again, not remotely shocking that people eat this up. It'd be like, why do people watch Keeping Up with the Kardashians? You know, shows that
have. Oh, God, yeah.
It's like, oh, because people fucking love an inside peek into celebrity gossip and lifestyle. So that I actually think is really smart of what they've done. I just find it fascinating because this pushes up against that entire thing of authenticity. And I'm kind of surprised. I'm thinking through this. Like, he had to have known this day was going to come. I'm kind of surprised he didn't get out in front of it with earlier. with a big reveal almost of like Big Cat's shocking reveal, like the tell all. And you could have made it more like mockumentary style and basically gotten ahead of it and spun it in a comedic way, as opposed to having to be like, all right, PR, here's my blog post.
I was going to say that as we finish up the story, I was going to say this, like, that's the way he should attack this. Like, what do you think he should do from here on out? That's what I would do, is I would be like, I'm the fake Bears fan guy, you know, just make it a bit. And you know, to agree with you on the other point that Adam said too, like, I think, like, regardless of like how good they are at the game, I think that he's funny. Like, I don't really, I only see bits and stuff like that. He's clearly entertaining and funny. You know, you might not like that type of person or whatever, but like, I think clearly there's a reason he has so many fans, and it's not just because he did the Bears stuff. So I think they're funny, but I think that's what he should do, because it's also right in his wheelhouse. This stuff is not in his wheelhouse. Explaining why he lied.
No,
that's another thing too, where like Portnoy's thing is often authenticity, I would say, because like even when he gets caught doing something slimy or stupid or whatever, like you see his explanations, it's like, he's just a dummy or something, you know what I mean? He doesn't know what he's doing. Like, he seems like he's like, I don't know, authentic. I would say a decent guy too, like real maybe is a better word.
But that's like, and that's by like the persona he's crafted, right? Where he takes
it might all be fake.
Yeah,
that'd be hilarious if he wasn't from Boston or whatever. Patriots. That would be hilarious.
That would tear it up. No, but I completely agree with you. Like, Big Cat has now positioned himself as this more comedic personality than anything else, even though the roots were traditional fandom. Like, that's how these jobs got started. And I think that's what's interesting about it too, in that probably anyone who found Pardon My Take in the past 5 years, like, literally could not give a shit, because the Bears fandom hasn't probably been a central part of like what they've consumed from him, but it's like all those OG people, like the core audience that started like, I wrote or died with all of your Bears blogs, man. Like now they're like, fuck, what was I reading that whole time?
Yeah. I mean, but I mean, again, though, if it's true that he went to college in Wisconsin and then he was a Bears fan, like at 19.
Yeah.
I think that's fair. Like, you know, if you get like a super obsessed with sports and team, like you can know everything about a team in a year.
Here's the thing though. If that was the case, I think he would be able to, like, wouldn't you just double down on that and be like, yeah, fuck you guys. I didn't come out of the womb rooting for the Bears, but I have like lived and died with all these things. And he's just like, I'm going to own my Bears fandom. Like that wasn't fake shit. Like I really felt all of those things. And then he's like writing here, this has been the worst I've felt in my 13 plus Barstool sports career. Like there's more guilt at play here that makes me think that it is more untrue than it isn't. Cause wouldn't you just double down on that? Just be like, fuck you. I'm a Bears fan. Like I fucking love the Bears. You know, that seems like you're more guilty.
Because I'm thinking like, since we don't follow this stuff, there's probably 10 more posts coming of dudes who follow this with him saying, like, misleadingly, like, yeah. I grew up here in Chicago. I remember when I went to the Bears game when I was 7 years old, you know, shit like that. It's like, you were at the Celtics game when you were seven. You weren't at the Bears game. I bet there's more stuff, and he's kind of,
because this isn't like a quote like this. Like, listen to this. The 70 plus people in the Chicago office all have my back, and they know that deep down I'm a good person trying to do my best for everyone. This isn't a person defending a fandom switch. This is a person defending a web of lies. Like, you don't write shit like that. They have my back and know I'm a good person because you rooted for a different team. No, like, this is someone who feels an immense amount of guilt about lying.
Yeah, you're totally right. It's not a person who's like, I became a Bears fan when I was 20. Like, give me a break. I'm 40 now. I'm whatever he is, you know?
Right.
Like, what do you want? Is 15 okay? Like, he's definitely taking it too hard for a guy who just turned a Bears fan a little later than people assumed, and he kind of let that go, and he probably shouldn't have let, you know, he shouldn't have let that image go. Like that's his angle, but I don't know. There's got to be some articles, because if you, I imagine his like early Barstool articles, if they're still online, are probably pretty damning. They're probably like in 20, you know, let's say he graduated. I don't know how old he is, but like whenever he graduated college, and then the next year he writes his first Barstool Chicago article, and it's all about how he's a huge fan, even though he was wearing that Brady jersey 2 months before he wrote that article.
Yeah. Anyways, I thought it was funny story there.
What do you think happens? Nothing.
Oh, nothing. I think it blows over. I don't think
he's got to figure out the Bears bit thing, because that's still a big part of his tweeting regimen and everything. And like, how's he gonna? Are you just gonna go right back to I'm number one Bears fan and do all my bits?
I think I saw a bit from him, because I went to his timeline after I read about this to see if he had tweeted, and he had done a few jokes like talking about the Vikings in the we sense, which is like a funny bit of being like, now I'm a Vikings fan, being like, oh, we now don't have to bring back Kirk Cousins or something. You know, it was something like that, or Sam Darnold. So he was already spinning it as a bit.
He should totally do that. Yeah. And Patriots. He's got to do Patriots bit, like, who are we going to draft this year? Too bad we didn't get the number one overall pick.
That is honestly, like, if I were him, I would be like, all right, for the next month, like every month for the next year, I'm going to root for a different team and be an impassioned fan for that team and write blogs from that POV or something. Just completely swallow it up. Like, what's the classic thing, right? You turn into the skid. You do not run from it. You embrace it.
Oh, yeah. Like, if Halloween was next week, he should wear a Brady jersey and go as like a fake Bears fan or something, you know?
Yes.
Like, he should wear a Brady's Bears jersey on his next show.
Yes.
Or no. Yeah, it didn't. Brady said the Bears almost signed him. I don't know if you caught that a couple months ago when he was going to Tampa Bay. He said the Bears were like the second choice.
Really?
Yeah. Like, just any angle. Any angle he could use, he should go for it. And then no one will care. And then when he gets the shitty comments in Twitter, he could retweet him with a bit.
For sure. Yeah, there's definitely a way to take it back, but it's fascinating reading this blog and seeing how heavy this is weighing on him, that he didn't even feel like he could completely spin zone it as a bit. Like this is like something weighing super heavily on him. All right, let's make a hard pivot here over to this other story, which is pretty wild. And I feel like we've talked about this guy on three straight Lulz episodes, so now we actually have a plot twist here. So this was the C. Blez guy, and we had pulled up this photo. You know, he takes these unflattering photos of him with his shirt on. And I thought it was more like a comedy bit for a while, right? Like going in, trying to like, oh, I got turned away at the desk. They wouldn't take my big bet or whatever. Now the truth comes out. I believe this guy, Man of the Library, kind of did the digging. Basically, what's been happening is he has another partner, and they're both giving opposite picks in selling them on the same site. They bet and pick both sides of the game. They lose a few bucks in VIG. Then they make up for comps. And obviously they have their subscription, which I think costs like $600 a month to subscribe to their picks. Meanwhile, they're raking in 50 to 75K monthly and building a large following. And then they're able to, his other guy is Prez Bets. And so then they're able to get the screenshot equity on either side, because you're going to win regardless. And now this whole thing has finally been exposed. Now everyone's wondering, like, what should happen to these guys?
So I thought the bit was you go to the casino, bet $5,000, and then Pete, you bet $5,000 on the other side. We lose the VIG. We get comped. It's not a huge deal. And then we show the winning ticket, which I'm sure they're doing that. I don't understand how you could sell the opposite picks on the same Discord or site. That doesn't make any sense. I get doing two fake personas, right? Yeah. That aren't interacting with each other, and then you do the I mean, this is the oldest scam in the book for sports betting touts. This is one of the oldest scams.
Is it just as simple as they've cultivated different audiences? Is like one guy a Twitter guy and the other's the Instagram guy, and their self-contained audiences don't know about the other guy?
Yes. Yeah, and you could do two different personas. Like, you do the one guy's like a quant, a fake quant, and then the other guy's, this guy's more like a whatever Vegas Davey, takes his shirt off. I don't even know what he's doing with the nipples showing. But put those fucking nipples away, Blez, please.
It's so good. And then people are mad.
He would show pictures too of his house, right? Like, this is what it takes to grind like this, and it's and it's just a bed on the ground with no frame and shit like that. I bet that's their actual apartment when they first started doing this.
Cause there's the couple different, the other model, right, is the Vegas Dave model, where you bet like minus 10,000 faves, and just say you have just the most absurd win record of all time, not even addressing the risk of ruin involved in those kind of bets. I bet Vegas Dave, do you think he saw this story? He's like, fuck, man. Why didn't I find my alter ego to go into business with, so I didn't have to just bet minus 10,000 faves every time?
Maybe. I have a feeling that Vegas Dave doesn't even like know how to read, so he probably can't even see this. Do you think these two bros were just like sitting in their apartment, like, you know, like they both don't have jobs, they suck at Madden, nothing to do.
I need to see, does the other guy have a Twitter account? Prez Bets. Okay, here he is. So even these, like, everything, I can't, like, it seems like so much an attempt at comedy, but I'm guessing in their head, they are cosplaying as real successful sports bettors.
That looks like a TV remote.
No, it's cash. It's cash.
Oh God, I can't even see it.
It's like so a TV good. TV remote. Dude, I love this bio. Using AI models to beat the books is such a good hook to get people to buy your shit. Man.
Yeah, keep going through his see if he's got anything interesting. Big Dick Energy. Yeah, I'm sure these guys are just
getting no engagement whatsoever on these posts.
Yeah, how many followers? He's got 8,000 followers,
dude. Huh. To have to have
using AI. Yep, he's AI, of course, got to be using AI.
8,000 followers and not a single like on a non-link post is a pretty rough scene.
You know what the funny thing is? They actually did use the AI. They went to ChatGPT and be like, hey, if we wanted to be scammers, like there's two of us, what should we do? Like, you could bet the other side. I bet they got this from AI.
I want to see. Now I'm like, this is kind of like our Ben, the better stuff. I'm wondering, did these guys ever interact with each other on Twitter? So what is it?
Yeah, check it.
This is Prez Betts and the other is Blez Betts. I don't know. I would have to do a deeper search, but it doesn't look like they interact with each other. So that was part of the scam.
The funny thing is, like, this guy who wrote this whatever article or claim about these guys, we just immediately believe it. It's almost like definitely true.
Yeah. Man, this is
so incredible. I'm assuming those 8,000 followers are fake.
They have to be.
How do you get fake followers? How do they do it?
There's sites where you can go and buy
and them. They just have a bunch of bots follow you or something? Yeah.
They'll get purged. I remember this comedian that I like, Joe Mandy, way back when. He did a bit where he wanted to buy 1 million followers, and then he did, and then he like played the game of whack-a-mole with like they would kept purging the bots. This was pre-Elon. And then he would like buy them back, and like he was just constantly buying Twitter followers to get to 1 million. So speaking of like PR spin, how do we think he handles this? You know, people in his mentions, the gig is up, C-Bledge, you and your partners are plastered all over social media for the frauds that you are. How do we think he recovers?
He didn't respond to it, huh? I would guess.
No.
Well, did you go into that number one? He gets a lot of interaction, actually.
Yeah.
What's that? Well, he's got 33 comments on that second tweet. Is it people just shitting on him?
This guy cracked me up, or when they scam people. You seem to be losing plenty without parlays. Is there a better illustration of how hard it is to fucking win reliably at sports betting than these guys having to concoct a scam where they both bet opposite sides? Like it does really illuminate how fucking hard it is.
I don't think it's even that hard, honestly. Like they could have put some more. This is the thing with all these fucking cheaters and scammers. I've said on the show a million times. If they just put some work in, they can actually figure some of this stuff out and then not be scammers. It's crazy. I know, but.
Well, or the other thing you do, like, you know, what's the kid's name? Who does the bets? Why am I blanking on his name? Alex Caruso, right? Like he just powers through. Like it does not matter. Like the next day, the picks are coming back out, baby. Like he can take a bath. He can lose for 10 days. His mentions are just destroyed. And this motherfucker just keeps pressing onward.
There needs to be like of all like the sports betting regulation and shit, like fuck all that stuff. I want a deep investigation into like who follows these guys and like what their demographics are, what's their history, why, what, you know, what leads them down this path. It's fascinating I would like to talk, probably not for more than like 5 minutes, but to talk to one of the Alex Caruso followers who bets his shit.
I think you would vomit up all of your sugar-free Mike's Hard Lemonade if you knew how much money Alex Caruso has
made.
You
don't want that coming out that way.
You would be sick to your stomach to know how much money Alex Caruso has made. I think it's an ungodly amount. 367,000 Twitter followers, massive engagement, affiliate deals across all of these things. The amount of people who just want someone to tell them who to bet it's insane.
That's... You know, maybe they should shut down Twitter.
I'm gonna keep big timing him though. He follows me. Haven't given him the follow back yet.
Yeah, you gotta.
Yeah.
Well, now that he follows you, maybe he's watching this. How much money do you make, Alex? Tell us.
See, and look, like they do partnerships with sites I've never even heard of. Chalkboard? Have you heard of Chalkboard?
No.
Chalkboard has two huge free squares for users today. Code Caruso for $100 deposit match. And that's the thing, because they'll just pop up these new sites and they'll be like, we'll give you a $200 CPA on first time depositors.
He doesn't give a shit.
No.
I can't imagine this guy's been around for all the companies that ghost people.
Have you heard about Rebet?
I have not.
Well, it's now legal in 46 of 50 states, and if you use code Caruso, you'll get a $100 deposit match when you join with this link. I mean, it's like, how many different sports betting sites can I even find on here? It's incredible stuff, though.
Those links, no one goes to those fucking links anyways. He got 77 likes. Is his engagement real? You
think? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, again, like you could say, you know, adjusted for 300,000 followers. Dude, here's another one. Have you heard of Sweep DFS? Where are all these sites coming from? Get a free $10 bet when you sign up. If you are a sports betting site that's on the up and up and you have not slid into Alex Caruso's DMs for a deal, you are losing, brother, because this guy would show up to the opening of an envelope. I'm telling you right now.
Do you think he just gets CPA, or do you think they give him cash too?
Dude, I bet with his Twitter following, I bet he's negotiating a little flat cash up front and a CPA. I bet he's not having to free roll these companies with his Twitter following.
Mm-hmm.
It's good work, man.
What, you know, what's funny is with these guys is whenever we do a little bit, it's usually about like a month to two cycle before the downfall of that person. If you notice this trend, there's usually something happens to these people. They never clear sailing.
It is
like, the other like thing Nat, that- like Taylor or whatever her name is. We did our first thing on her, like a month later, she rugged people, so her career's over.
She's back now, I think. I think she passed.
Yeah, well, I think we know why.
The other funny thing too about these accounts is they made a hard pivot. Like Caruso used to do, like, you know, top 10 guys to pick up in your fantasy league, you know, like kind of normie season long fantasy content, and then tasted the forbidden fruit of the sports betting affiliate deals and never looked back.
What's the countdown to Davis Maddock? Full blown.
This thing is, Davis could do this. Davis could absolutely do this if he wants.
I'm surprised he hasn't.
Well, let's just see. He's waiting to see if he wins the Mitten Returns Again 5 contest. And if not, there's going to be some locks of the day. I was trying to see if I could scroll back far enough to find when he wasn't doing this stuff, but I can't even go that far back. Unbelievable, Brian. We're in the long line of business. Did you ever think, instead of doing a training site teaching people how to fish, maybe just give them a fucking lock of the day?
No, but I am now. Yeah, we talk about that stuff all the time, and it's like, yeah, we're just gonna get people limited. Like, if we give we can't like give out, and like, how many picks can you give out before the lines are dead and all that type of stuff? These guys, they don't give a shit. They do not consider anything like that. They're just like, yeah, the Bears minus 2 is a mortal lock. Trust me, I grew up in Highland Park.
It is kind of crazy. And I mean, this is obviously the stuff I think about, right? Like, you put yourself in his shoes. He's making a shit ton of money on these affiliates, but he has fully crossed the Rubicon as far as like what his relationship is with his audience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in a way, like, there's literally nothing else you're doing other than giving them like the pick of the day. Like, mm-hmm. there's nothing. Like, it is so unbelievably transactional. There's not even like, he doesn't even have like tilt posts mixed in. Like, if that were me, if I was going in that direction, I'd be wanting to sweat my bets publicly with people, like, live, like, in a way, like, hey, hop in the Discord, we'll watch this game, and like sweat our bet together, or I'll like be like, fuck man, I bet this. And like, yeah, you know, we got the hook tonight. Like, sorry guys, you know, like anything like that to add an element of like community or, you know, interaction with your audience. It's just like, no, pick, 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 bam, yeah. bam, bam. I'm like, it seems like such a soulless endeavor to me.
It, yeah. I mean, but then he sleeps on a bed of money. You know?
Yeah, right. He makes a shit ton more money than I do. So, I mean, he sleeps easy, but for me, that's like, it's really hard to wrap my head around that being an enjoyable way to make a living.
Who can, I wonder, is there anyone we could talk to who's done that and then like stopped and, you know, maybe sees the light of day and they want to talk about it? That'd be interesting.
Well, I think like, so Joe Holka, I think he like has dabbled in this stuff and does it way more in like tighter verticals. And he has like his partnerships and newsletter. I think he does it in a much less like soulless or a way that like shows a little more like humanity to me. I think he would be, and he's reached out to me. He'd be down to come in and talk about this stuff before. Cause he knows all about like the hacks and how to get this stuff rolling. Uh-huh. But like, Joe has a live stream with an audience and has like a Discord and stuff he interacts with. Like he actually interacts with his audience as opposed to this like 1v1 transactional thing.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. The guys who are just tweeting pics relentlessly with no, like, cause like even like the odds jam guy or whatever.
Yeah.
Like he was giving out like ARB picks and stuff from like live his live odds site. And like, it all made sense what he was doing. So,
because even that was like, let me give you a pick with an edge and let me show you why there's an edge, you know, whether it was through ARB, whether, you know, it's through price shopping, whether it was through their models or whatever. But this where it's just like, all right, here's like two sentences of fake research of why this is a good bet. And we're going to move on.
So I wonder what his Caruso's endgame is, because that Alex guy's the other Alex. I think his name is Alex too. His endgame was genius, man. He sold that company for whatever. What was it? 30 million, 50 million.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was 30. Yeah.
30 plus like he can get like double that if they do well or something. It was at Monahan. Yeah. Thanks, Neil.
Yeah. Well, and that also
he
goes
did it and he had a, and he had something to sell. Eventually.
Right. And that's why I think if you are doing that, like having a product is nice, right? Because there's actually an exit strategy as opposed to
just getting CPAs here and there.
Yeah. And that's the other thing too. Like you really start to think about, I mean, like how many of those companies, we literally had never heard of them. How many of them are going to continue to exist? How many of them can you be sure are doing everything above board, that your funds are safe? Like
not many.
Then that's where you start to really run it. Like, can I actually recommend these sites to my audience?
No.
This site that just popped up for a week and feel good about, like,
the answer is no, you can't. You can't feel good about it. Unless, of course, you have no soul.
Yeah.
And then you just sign those fuckers right up.
Yeah. All right. I got to bounce. I got a bunch of
things. I forgot to ask if you could put a what's it called? A raid on Davis's channel.
We're
show me, Davis, and Dan right after this.
Yeah, let me go in and do that right now before we you got the Battle Royale Sim show?
Yeah, I think it's probably the last one, right?
Yeah, what, next week, 2-game slate? No, yeah. Unless he's doing like primetime Sims or whatever, primetime Palooza.
Yeah, it might be, we might do something different, but this is probably the last real BR.
Yep. Let's see here. I'm looking in videos from other channels. Oh, there it is.
Okay.
This Breaking Bad Photoshop is.
What does it say?
It says Battle Royale in the Breaking Bad, like logo theme. And then Nerdy is Walter White and Davis is Jesse or whatever. Okay. There he goes. Because we're setting up a redirect for you, Davis, and we've also looked into your future, and we've decided that if you don't win the mitten, you're gonna Alex Caruso.
Yeah, straight bet tout, pick of the day tout.
Davis, if you want to do a thing where we kind of have the same service, you bet one side, I bet the other,
Whose shirt's coming off?
I'll be the sea blast.
You have nip slips all the time, so it's clearly more your style.
All right. Go watch the Battle Royale sim stream with Brick, Davis, and Nerdy. Like I mentioned, with Often on the Clock, this will be my last show for the weekend as I am traveling, and I will see you guys all back next Monday for shows and the like. Otherwise, have a great divisional round weekend and go watch the Battle Royale sim. So we'll see you guys next time.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.